Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with you, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California. Pastor Joe Schimmel, how are we doing today?
Except for my voice with a cold, I'm doing great, bro.
That's all right. Tony and I have been battling that, too.
And I know. You guys gave it to me, man. But I love you guys still.
It's a small studio we're in. We give everything to each other.
Yeah, that studio would be a little bigger.
And on that mic, that's not Joe, that is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
I'm doing blessed in the Lord.
Praise God, bro.
Amen.
And we're really excited, guys, because as we keep telling you guys, we have a lot of stuff going on. And Tony and I and Joe, we all three just got out of what is the studio being built, looking at the new switchboard, looking at some of the stuff that's going on in terms of the ambiance, so to speak, concerning how it's going to look when we're sitting down and giving out shows to you guys. And we're really, really, guys, please keep that in prayer. I know I was really blessed last night. I was looking through the comments on the Blessed Hope Chapel live feed, and you guys can check that out Wednesday. Our time, is that Pacific time, Tony? I'm so bad at my...
Yeah, Pacific time.
Pacific time. Pacific time on Wednesdays, you can listen in at 7:30. And guys, we have people all over the world. I'm not just the country. And I know that a lot of them, I saw them watching live and commenting. And I know some of you guys are in New York commenting on a message that started at 10:30 for you guys. And that was really encouraging to me to see you guys on there digging in the Word and loving those messages. And I know a lot of you guys even wrote, please pray for Joe because of his sickness. And I know that always means a lot. And while you're also praying for our health, please, please, please pray for all the projects we keep telling you guys about. The videos we're trying to work on, the studio, and the radio network, the 24/7 radio network that we cannot wait to release to you guys. And we're pretty close to a hard date, and hopefully we'll talk a little bit more of that in a private meeting, but we're pretty close to a hard date on the release date, and I can't wait to share that date with you. And please, we're going to be making some graphics to throw up on your Facebook pages and your Instagram. Please get those out for us. We're really, really, really excited. But with all that, we want to talk about this important show, and I believe this is an important show because it's a topic that I care about. As somebody, me personally, I've been involved since probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years after I came to the Lord, involved in sharing the gospel, and not only sharing the gospel, that was immediately, but involved in teaching the youth the Bible, teaching people the word of truth, especially young people. And I have a passion for young people to know the word, know why they believe what they believe, and to actually follow Christ. With that, I have met a lot of other youth leaders and youth mentors, and a lot of them are a lot like what's going on here, but they may say it privately that that's who they want to get. They really want to get them. The old people, it's whatever, you know, they're their own thing, and I really want to just go after the youth. And that's actually happening full force at it's a Unitas Methodist church, and maybe Joe and I will talk a little bit more about that later, but in Cottage Grove, Minnesota, a church is pretty much telling their older congregants, don't come anymore for at least 2 years, okay? And I'm going to read from an article by the Grand Forks Herald, okay? It says, the church wants to attract more young families. The present members, most of them over 60 years old, will be invited to worship somewhere else. A memo recommends that they stay away for 2 years, then consult the pastor about reapplying. Officials say the church needs a reset, and reopening the church is the best way to appeal to younger people. But the older church members say they see that as an insult. Quote, this is totally wrong. They are discriminating against us because of our age. And then, guys, and just so you know, some people said, oh, no, it's not like that. But this is the guy, who I'm going to read from, is actually in charge of doing this, okay? And this is the Reverend Dan Wetterstrom. He said, we have not figured out how to reach new people there. He said, Jesus said we're called to reach new people. It's a new thing with a new mission for a new target. We are asking them to let this happen. For this to be truly new, we can't have the core group of 30 people. The members of the church have other options. They can come to Woodbury during that phase. And how long should they stay away? 15 to 18 months after weekly worship is launched. So yeah, you guys have been coming to church here for 60-some years. Get out. We're trying to bring some new people. Because, Joe, isn't it the goal of the church to simply get these new people in? Isn't that the goal of pastors, to just get new people into their fellowship? Isn't that what's going on here?
Well, we have a twofold goal as far as souls go, and that is definitely go into the, you know, highways and byways and uttermost parts of the earth and the uttermost of the guttermost and reach whoever you can. It doesn't matter age. It's not age discrimination. Every soul matters to the Lord in the same way, depending on their age, you know. So it's really heartbreaking when you hear this stuff, and I've read a little bit about it online and so forth, and your heart just breaks. I have a mom who's a dear saint, and I just, you know, she's in her, you know, almost mid-80s, and she's been a great part of our fellowship since the beginning. I mean, we were 30 years old this year, and I think I was like 26 or so when this fellowship started. And I did a salvation call at another church. I used to do more evangelism and speak at a lot of churches before I started pastoring. And she was in the crowd watching me as her really young son at the time. I don't know if I was like 19 or 20 preaching. And she just, a really old couple came up for salvation that day. And the pastor came to me afterwards and told me, well, this couple's been visiting the last couple of weeks to see them come up. And I preach repentance, you know that. And to come to Christ like that was a big deal to him, but even a bigger deal because, you know, I was a little biased here, and that blessed my heart. But I saw my mom come up, and that's when she received Christ. And she has been a dear, I mean, she's the most, I mean, again, I'm biased, she's the most awesome mom in the world. And you guys are smiling right now, shaking your heads, because she's an amazing lady.
Sweetheart, yeah.
She is, and she's really played a huge role in building up the flock here, as you guys know.
Yeah.
Oh, she's very sensitive, very caring, she's funny, she's loving.
I have just one story. You know, when the best man at my wedding, he passed away. He actually was given medicine and he suffocated on his pillow. And we would stay outside of his grandmother's house and pray for her, that his grandma and grandpa would come to church and come to faith. And we had the funeral here at our church. And then it was amazing because his grandma then came to faith and got baptized, and it was one of the most glorious things. And then not long after that, her husband had a heart attack. And guess who it was? Thelma called the troops, and next thing you know, guess who was right there? They just started at the fellowship, but next thing you know, everyone was right there at the hospital.
Thelma's my mom, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Grandma Thelma is Joe's mom. And it was pretty
impacting. And those two folks too, those older folks are in the fellowship to this day.
Amen.
Years later, you know. Mm-hmm. And she's always been like that. I mean, you know, I have so much. People think, oh, I can't believe all that you do. I'm like, no, you don't realize how much help I have. You know, I'm not doing all the production over there that Tony's doing this podcast, you know, and Chaz has his huge end of it, you know. I do a lot of messages, put things together, you know, and do things like that. And yeah, it's work, but you know, I have so much help. And it's the same thing is true with my wife is like, she's my helpmate, you know, and she's a pair of eyes and she's prayerful and she's discerning and she's a watch woman in a sense, you know, she's been a huge blessing. But my mom through the years, you know, she's been such a blessing because she'd call me or I'd see her. She goes, hey, did you know so-and-so's going through this? You know, I don't know if you know that because, you know, she's talking to, you know, some of the older folks will be going through things, you know.
Yeah.
So-and-so's at the hospital. I don't know if you know that. They just checked in, you know, because she's in the loop with a lot of the older folks. She would give me an opportunity to minister in ways I wouldn't be able to be as effective if she wasn't in my ear, you know, helping me along the way. So, and by the way, so I see her as playing a vital role, a very important role, significant role. And the other older folks in our fellowship, we have gems, you know. I think it was just a week or two ago, we're giving praise reports, and I think it was Barry, you know, and, you know, he's 80, in his early 80s, you know, and I asked him how old he was publicly, and I don't think I embarrassed him because his wife, Carol, she leads a Bible study, and you guys are smiling again, because they're just like some of those beautiful Christians you've ever met, and they're so edifying, and they build people up, and I think Barry, more than just about anybody else that I know in the fellowship, comes to me and tells me what happened when he just witnessed to somebody. And how I was telling him, you need to be born again. It's not religion. It's relationship with Jesus. Right? You know, and he's like, and I just love it. You know, he's got a youthfulness to him because he's has the Holy Spirit. He's excited about Jesus. And Carol, you know, she came, they came probably 5, 6, 7 years ago to the fellowship. But, you know, she was you know, checking out stuff. She saw, I think, our video on the emerging church someone gave her, and she was like just appalled all this was going on in the church, but she's a lover of truth. And these folks help strengthen, and they are a huge part of the church. In fact, we should probably, I've got some scriptures I want to share, because the scripture, that's God's word.
Yeah.
It cuts to our heart, you know?
That's what
Let's see what the Lord has to say about this. But keep in mind, the United Methodist, some of these old folks, I have to admit, you know, they'll be better off if they find another church, a strong evangelical, conservative, Bible-based church probably, because if these folks have that kind of attitude about the older folks in the church, what are they going to be teaching if it's all about getting numbers and young people and new money and the people that don't tithe much or don't tithe at all because they have social security checks, you know, and just saying, hey, don't come back maybe for 2 years or whatever they're saying. In fact, I was reading from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. They stated in the Cottage Grove United Methodist Church that they will, quote, usher out gray-haired members. I thought that was interesting. Call them gray-haired members, because the Bible talks about gray-haired people in a different way than this. They will usher out gray-haired members in an effort to attract more young parishioners. And one person, one older lady, she walks a long way to church already, and she has an oxygen tank, and she takes it to church with her, drags it along. And now guess what? She's going to have a really hard time. One 70-year-old member called it age discrimination. I call it spiritual euthanasia. You know, that's what I thought of when I saw this. I go, you know what? Some of these old folks, you know, their encouragement in Christ, maybe they're getting some scripture enough to just keep them focused. And now they can become embittered because they feel that the church leadership for a lot of people represents God to them. And also they feel like they're being rejected by God, maybe. The Lord's rejecting them. I mean, there's untold hurt happens when people feel like the leadership of a church has abused them in some way. And it just breaks my heart. And so I thought of my mom. I thought, what if she was at that fellowship, you know? And I have to admit, it really ticked me off. I thought, what are you guys doing? Because guess what? There are people just like her. There are all kinds of older men, older women that love the Lord, perhaps at that church. And maybe that's their only understanding of Christianity they've had. And I don't know exactly what they teach. You know, I don't even know if they preach the gospel. But if they do and have, this is now a deficient, an abusive. It's blasphemy is what it is. In fact, it made me think in the early church, in the book of Acts, there was a problem in Acts chapter 6. It says this, now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenist, and these were Greek Jews and so forth, or Greek-influenced, believers, arose against the Hebrews, those were the Jewish ones, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the Hellenists, the Greek believers, their widows were being neglected because they were in Jerusalem. That's where the church had gotten together, and the Pentecost sermon had been preached. The sermon after that, it grew. A lot of them stayed there. So we had a swelling number of people, and it was really hard to minister to everybody, and there were people that were in need, and there were a bunch of widows. But the Hebrew widows were being taken care of, and this was more of a, you know, not so much a neglect of just old folks, but it was more considered, like, wait, this looks like almost a racial thing. And the disciples had to fix that. You know, the apostles had to fix that, and they did. So there can always be discrimination, whether it's age or race. Anything like that is wicked. It's not the heart of God. Ephesians 6 says this, honor your father and mother. Okay, that's one of the Ten Commandments, actually, Paul's quoting there, and it's become part of the law of Christ, not just the law of Moses. This is brought into the law of Christ, into which is, it's supposed to be inscribed in our hearts as believers by the Holy Spirit. And if you're dishonoring the fathers and the mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers, you're in huge trouble. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Isn't that interesting? God sees the old people with gray hair. He sees their gray hair as a crown. These people at this church, at least some of the leadership, it seems, sees them as a burden not worthy of trying to carry. And, you know, the gray hair is a crown of glory. It's gained by a righteous life. In other words, you know, oftentimes your life was cut short if you were wicked, if you lived a wicked life. You know, your life was cut short. So if you gained gray hair and you were doing well at the end of your life, it was not always, but often it was a sign that you had lived a righteous life. Psalm 71:9 says, do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. He's crying out to God that, you know, how can I be able to do what I've done before for you? And, you know, but God cares about the aging. And Isaiah 46:4, it says, even to the old age, I am he. And you know, all the I am statements in Isaiah, mm-hmm. right? Even to your old age, I am he. And to gray hairs, I will carry you. I love that. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and I will save. And I love searching the scriptures on what the Lord has to say about certain subjects. And I've loved certain verses about how he affirms the old. And I love these verses prior to getting older, you know. I'm 56, you know. And so I plan on living at 112. So I just hit middle age, unless the Lord returns first, you know. But we'll see. And so it's funny because when you think about it, churches make excuses, though, often to, you know, get rid of their older folks. And it's wicked before the Lord. Because think of the Lord's heart, you know. His heart, he loves all ages, loves the young, warns, Jesus says, if better that a large millstone be hung around your neck and be thrown in the sea if you cause one of these little ones to stumble. Cares for those who are middle-aged. He cares for those who are older. Cares for us all. He's not partial, the scriptures say. Jesus actually warned in Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 4, for God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what would you have gained from me is given to God. In other words, instead of taking care of their parents or saying, hey, I give my money to God, not to you, he need not honor his father. He says that so he doesn't have to honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. Jesus was rebuking the religious leaders who were benefiting from money coming from younger people who were able to make excuses that they didn't have to help their parents. And they weren't concerned about the older folks in the Jewish community there, some of them, you know, some of the leadership. And Jesus was rebuking them. In fact, at one point, he says, woe unto the scribes, you devour widows' houses. Mm-hmm. Now, when you see Jesus, you see God, he is God of the flesh, amen? He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father, you know, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he says, I speak the words that the Father gave me. This is the heart of Jesus. This is the heart of the Father. This is the heart of the Holy Spirit, that he sees them devouring widows' houses. He sees their lack of care for the older folks. He sees their negligence in not supporting the older folks when they get older. And I thought, wow, this is interesting because it breaks the Lord's heart. And when these folks do this to the older folks at a congregation, I mean, think of what a lot of those older folks had probably done at that congregation. It didn't say certain older folks are you know, need to apply in 2 years. It was just, not that that would be good either, you know, but it says it was pretty much all the older folks. So.
No, I think that's really interesting because I was just discussing Acts chapter 6 with a brother in the Lord the other day. And one of the things I mentioned, I said, look, this is probably the first time we see deacons being put into place, right, in Acts chapter 6. And one of the specific reasons that the deacons are put in place, what it says in the text, in the first few verses of Acts 6, is that so that the elders, the teachers, right, so they would not be taken away from and be busy cleaning tables so that they can minister in prayer and the ministry of the word
Amen.
To the widows.
Absolutely.
And you're like, literally, we're appointing things in the church, like the office of deacon, so that they could be ministered to more.
Absolutely.
You know, it's incredible to me.
You know, that's a very, very important point is they made sure, I didn't go into detail, I'm glad you went in more detail, but they made sure that they were taken care of. That's the Lord's heart, you know. And sometimes, you know, when I turned like 40, you know, my kids started joking to my wife and I about how we were old. So you'd hear some of these, you're old now, you know, those kind of jokes, you know. And you know how I solved that problem? Because it became like a broken record. You guys are old now, you know. You start to hear that, you know. And I tell them the scripture. I go, well, if we're old, look at what the Bible tells you. It's what God's word says to you. Leviticus 19:32. You shall stand up before the gray-haired or gray head and honor the face of an old man. And you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. I said, so if we're old, you're going to keep saying we're old. It says when an old person comes in with gray hair, you need to stand up. So every time I hear you say that, you better be standing in front of me, honoring me. You know? It lasted one or two times after that. Well, can debate things. You want to debate something that's not scriptural, you might win, but you're going to have a hard time with the scripture. But guess what? They could have won. I said, Dad, you don't have gray hair yet. That might have been helpful. Well, then don't call me old. I think right now, I mean, I don't have gray hair yet either, but I've got a gray mustache.
And I've had gray hair since I was 19.
My mustache is grayed out. So older men, older women are an important part of the health of the church. Listen to Titus 2, verse 1. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. Listen to this. They are to teach what is good and to train the young women to love their husbands and children. You know, if you get rid of your older folks and you have all these young families they're going to bring in, what kind of role models do you have as to what it means to be a godly Christian woman for all these young gals who are looking at, you know, watching Kim Kardashian and all that stuff? It's just a great way to destroy your church, what's left of that church. You know, you wonder where it's been from the beginning now, or, you know, how, and it goes on. They need to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So these older women were to model that, and not just model that in their behavior by way of example, but they're supposed to teach this to the younger women. And older women that are listening to this message, and I don't want to define what an older woman is exactly, but if you've been in the faith for some time, you know, you've been a believer for, you know, 7, 10, 15, 20 years, and you're mature in the Lord, and you're, you know what the scriptures say, and you love your husband and your children, and you're in the word of God, and you're not a gossip, and you're not getting drunk on wine, and you're really discreet and modest and seeking to live a godly life, you're to, God's given you a ministry. There's a lot of things God's called you to do, but look at Titus too. This is a pastoral epistle, and Paul's telling Titus how to organize the church and how to lead it. And the older women are to put input. I was just mentioning the gal named Carol in our fellowship, an older lady who has such a great influence, along with my mom and several of the women, older women, teach the younger women, encourage them. And, you know, I've had my daughters have been great beneficiaries of older women speaking into their lives and encouraging them. Besides, you know, my wife and my mom, and I got, you know, three great sisters that go to the sisters, spiritual and blood sisters in the fellowship that have been a great encouragement in many ways, but other sisters as well. And it's important that you see your role as an older person, that, you know, you see this stuff and it's like, what in the world? It's like, wow, you know who wants the older people out of the church? Satan.
Amen.
You know, that's just a spiritual thing, guys. Satan wants to, you know, bring spiritual youth in Asia to the church. Listen to, I think this is great, is, Chad, you were talking about as far as the health of the church. You had a grandmother that had a great impact
yeah,
on you.
Yeah, of course. You know, and that was one of the things I said when I posted this originally on Good Fight. I said, I'm sorry, but you're going to make your church spiritually impotent with this, because I believe that there are just wonderful women in the Lord and men in the Lord. And I know, I remember talking to Grandma Thelma when I was a newer believer about their prayer meetings that they did every week. Like some of these women, their prayers are, I mean, they've been sitting there pouring these out for the Lord, and it's powerful. And I was actually recently at my great grandmother Helen, her 102nd birthday, and I was so excited because they again, and at her 100th birthday as well, they asked me to lead the prayer over. And this time I wanted to say something to her, because for at least 25 years, and my uncle or my dad could correct me on this, but at least 25 years, she's been saying, I am ready to go be with the Lord. She has said that over and over. I don't know why he still has me here. So I told her, and I told the story of when I was 4 years old, she came over when my parents put up our new beds, and she brought mattresses for us. And she taught my brother and myself how to pray before we went to bed. And I told that whole story, and I said, you know, I didn't know much about the Bible or the Word of God or anything like that, but I prayed every single night until I probably got to high school. And I was not saved. I did not know the Lord for those years. I didn't follow the Lord, and I expressed that to them. I was like, but when I did come to the Lord, I do believe those were seeds that God used her to plant those seeds in my life that eventually would sprout up, that eventually would give fruit, and that I am the fruit of that. And I told her, I said, you know what, if you're here, it's for a reason. You know, we all have our times and our places and everything we've been put there that we may grope after God. And I told her, I said, hey, and you may have one more great, great grandchild now that needs to learn how to pray from you. And eventually, hopefully, we'll see fruition when it comes to their salvation, because I was one of them, you know. So it's been a blessing. She's been a blessing in my walk, and she's a stalwart. I know she goes through the Bible with my grandmother every year. They go through the Bible together, and it's been pretty awesome. Pretty exciting. Yeah. She's a great, great woman and been a great beacon of somebody who loves the Lord for me who walked as a heathen for so many years.
You know, it's interesting. The Bible defines in the New Testament what pure and undefiled religion is. Pure and undefiled religion. It says religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. You can visit the poor and those who are hurting, but just be spiritually adulterous and be all wicked. It's not a good thing. But you could also keep yourself unspotted from the world, but can care less about older folks, widows, and orphans. That's not good either. And pure there means, it means not to be motivated with a hidden motive, but to have just pure love, you know? And what shows more pure love than visiting widows in their distress and orphans where you get nothing out of it? You know, you're just doing it because God said to, and you care about people that are made in his image that are weak and hurting. So it's also, I love this scripture too. Psalm 146, 9 says, the Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. See, the Lord, he cares about everyone. In fact, Jesus said the Father sees, he has his eye on the sparrow. He sees when the sparrow falls to the ground and dies. He cares for it. He says, how much more does he care for you? Well, that's how he cares for the older folks. And by the way, that reference, if you're taking notes, is Luke 20, verses 46 and 47, where Jesus warned about, he said, to beware of the scribes. And he talked about how they devour widows' houses and they'll have a greater condemnation. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16. It lets us know that, guess what? That burden falls first and foremost, not on the church of older folks, falls first and foremost on the relatives of those older folks, because the church would be tapped out of all its money overnight if it was trying to take care of everybody's needs. It can't do that, obviously. So God expects the relatives, especially the young people that have been brought up by those older folks, to bear the burden. But if they're not able to bear the burden there, talks about those older, like widows, for instance, who have washed the saints' feet, have shown hospitality to make sure they're real, have done all these good works to then be blessed if they're older than 60 years old by the church. And it says in verse 16 of chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, if any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. 1 Timothy 5:4 says, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household, and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. So in other words, your parents took care of you. You know, they changed your diapers. They took care of you for years. They were burdened by you for years and years and years. You should make some return to them and show them honor. Because you know what? Christianity changed things. And pagans, a lot of the pagans went to extremes with their parents. They either worship them, worship their ancestors instead of God, or they just sometimes totally neglect them. In India, they had a practice for centuries, and it's still practiced apparently some places, but it's prohibited. It's called sati, it's S-A-T-I, but pronounced sati, where the widow would actually burn herself to death. And she'd burn herself on her husband's funeral pyre after he died to alleviate the burden of those who didn't want to take care of her. And they even used Hindu mythology of the god Shiva, his wife, you know, because her dad hated Shiva, honored him by burning herself to death after he had, you know, in honor of him. And Hindus said, hey, you want to honor, you want to follow her example, you know, as a doctor of demons, you know, in the Vedas, written in the so-called sacred text of the Hindus, that was used to inspire tens of thousands of widows burning themselves to death on their husband's funeral pyre. God calls us to do something different as Christians. We're called to take care of those who are older. Never speak harshly to an older man, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, but appeal to him respectfully as your own father. Would you want your own father to be shut out of a church who wants to follow the Lord? Well, we're supposed to treat the older men like this. And also says to treat the older women like you would your mothers. And I have so many other scriptures we don't have time to get into here. Brothers and sisters, I only shared like a third of what I have written down and I've typed out. I'm looking at page after page that I couldn't get into. The Bible says, curses anyone who dishonors his father and his mother. You want to be cursed? Reject the old and commit spiritual euthanasia. You want to be blessed? Bless your parents, bless your grandparents, and be a servant and love them. Love you guys. Press on in Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.